Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and about politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me for our first interview of 2014.
Happy New Year's. It seems like I haven't seen you since 2012.
Possible.
Yeah. You've shaved since the last time I saw you.
That's not all. Yeah. Be that as it may, today we're talking about two of your articles. The first, an article that appeared in the Reader on December 19th, 2013, titled "Charter School Operator Won't Say How It Spent Your Tax Dollars." In that article, you write of the United Neighborhood Organization, or UNO, the largest charter school operator in Chicago.
Yeah.
In the article, you detail a fight by the Chicago Sun-Times to get UNO to release contracts and other documents that might show how UNO has spent public money.
Great struggle by the great Dan Mahopoulos.
Reporter for the Sun-Times.
That's right. Ace investigative reporter, I believe I call him.
Some of the scandals surrounding UNO involved the awarding of construction contracts to businesses whose owners were the brothers of the then UNO chief operating officer. UNO subsequently hired former federal judge Wayne Anderson.
Yes, they did, yes.
And Anderson investigated the circumstances of the award by UNO to the brothers' businesses. You characterized Judge Anderson's investigation as, quote, UNO gave it to them, unquote. That's how you said it. Do you have any detail about Anderson's findings
No.
other than that?
I mean, the question is, he was charged with finding how did the brother of UNO COO get the contract from UNO? Well, the only answer is UNO gave it to them. I mean, it's not like some alien from Mars came down and said, give him this contract. UNO clearly gave the contract to the brother COO. So there you go. I just did the investigation for them.
And you wouldn't have charged as much as
I wouldn't
as
have
Anderson.
Charged them nearly as much money. This whole thing is just a joke on the people of Chicago who are eager to be joked upon. You know, there's no oversight. There's no regulations for charter schools. It's privatization of public education. I don't know where privatization has really worked well in the city of Chicago. Maybe you can enlighten me on that.
Let me get back to you on that.
Yeah, you get back. Send me a memo on that one, Dave. So why we would think it would be a good idea to do this to our public schools, I don't know. And yet, that's full speed ahead. As we speak, Mayor Rahm's about to have his Board of Ed approve. How many? I can't remember. At least two new charter schools, maybe more, that are on the current docket to be approved at the next meeting is what I'm talking about. As opposed to down the road, I think they're up to, what, 20 more they can approve.
Chicago might have as many as 39 new charter schools in the next 4 years.
4 years, okay. Yeah. But at the next meeting, at the 22nd of January, the Board of Education will convene to approve or not approve, I'll bet you they approve them, some very specific proposals. There's at least two on the northwest side that I know of because I wrote about them. And I think there's a couple more on the south side.
And we'll come back to that in a moment. But meanwhile, I want to talk about the fact that in September, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission announced it was investigating UNO for violations of federal securities laws. UNO Chief Executive Juan Rangel left UNO last December. At the time, I wondered, why now? Might it have been a move on the part of UNO's management to head off the impact of the SEC investigation?
To have Juan step down?
Yeah, to take the dive. Say, well, we fixed that now.
Yeah, I know. They always fix things by getting people to step down. This is all about face-saving, the whole thing, from doling out a contract to a judge to investigate, to hiring David Axelrod's PR firm to handle the spin. They're trying to save this operation. At the same time, and this is the point of the column that you're alluding to that I wrote over a month ago, at the same time they're doing this furious public PR campaign to save the organization. They're fighting like hell in court to keep secret what should be public documents and accounting of how they spent their money.
And what we're talking about now is UNO's what you call, quote, clever FOIA dodge, end quote, claiming that it's a public entity entitled to tax dollars, yet a private entity not subject to state disclosure laws.
Yeah.
FOIA being the State Freedom of Information Act. And listeners, you can hear Ben and me talk more about that angle by listening to our podcast titled, quote, The Reader Goes to Charter School, end quote. Other charter operators in Chicago are less secretive about their operations, about their spending, correct?
I don't believe that you can get the level of scrutiny from any charter school that you can get from an ordinary public school in Chicago. So, for instance, whenever the board issues a contract, it's itemized on their website as part of their minutes of their meetings. This is the Board of Education, Chicago Public Schools, which is run by Rahm Emanuel, who's not known for being Mr. Open Government. And yet, you know, he's like Thomas Jefferson compared to these charter school guys. I don't know if Thomas Jefferson, I just thought of Thomas Jefferson. I don't know if he was an open government
guy. Slave owner?
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm just not saying Rahm Emanuel is a slave owner. Nor am I saying he has an affair with Sally Hemings. Anyway, so
the board is far open. Contract,
yeah, all public
you
schools
see
are open. You can go look at any budget. You can see what a teacher makes. You can't do that with a charter school. You can't find what a teacher makes at the board's website. So there's just a level of secrecy for all charter schools. Now, what we don't know is whether, let's say, Noble, which is one of the largest provider of charter schools in Chicago, would turn over the documents that Dan Mahopoulos is asking for if they were requested. We don't know. All we know with the test case we have is Uno. Danny over at the Sun-Times is asking Uno to live by the same rules and regulations that govern all the real schools in Chicago, all the real public schools in Chicago. And they're saying, no, they don't have to. They've come up with a clever dodge, a legalistic dodge, and they're paying lawyers to keep this information concealed. So if you ask me, would Noble turn this over, or would any of the other charter schools in Chicago turn it over? I don't know.
The reason
I
ask is because you've done that. You've asked some of the other ones.
We didn't ask for this level of specificity. We asked 2 years ago, the great McDumkey and I asked to see the most basic elementary budgetary information. We got mixed results. Some schools provided the information. UNO said they weren't subject to FOIA laws and they didn't have to provide it. The Board of Education followed that article up with a memorandum that they sent to all charter school operators instructing them that they were subject to FOIA information. It wasn't just UNO, by the way. There were some charter school operators who had their attorneys send us letters saying, just so you know, we're going to give you what you want, but we are doing this even though we're not.
We don't have to.
We don't have to. And then they, by the way, didn't give us everything we wanted. There was a level of secrecy even when they gave us stuff. So, for instance, they might give us a list of salaries without the names of the people attached to them, or they might give us a lump sum of money supposedly spent on payroll without breaking it out. It was a very inadequate job of providing public information. Look, they're privately run operations. They clearly don't think that the rules that govern all the public schools govern them. That's what their charter is, to use a pun. That's what it's all about. It's like the rules don't apply to us, and that's why we're so great. That's what they promote themselves as, right? We don't have to hire union teachers. We don't have to give teachers due process rights. We could just fire you right now. That's what makes us such a great school. We have the right to hire who we want and fire when we want.
Going back to the disclosure predilection, have you looked at other cities to see if the ability to get charters to disclose is different or similar?
No. That's one of my favorite questions. Well, how do they do it in other cities? And by the way, it wouldn't matter. If none of the other cities require their charter schools to provide public information, that still wouldn't excuse Chicago. I would be hoping there'd be writers in those other cities clamoring for this information the way Dan is.
Let's go back to Chicago. And as we said earlier, Chicago might have as many as 39 new charter schools in the next 4 years. So this might be a good time to have a primer or a primer on what parts of a charter operator's expenses is funded by tax dollars and how much is city versus state funding. For example, if a charter school operates in a Chicago public school building, does it pay rent?
It depends. It varies deal to deal. There's no requirement that they have to pay rent.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Let me amend that. I don't know if they ever pay rent. They're not required to pay rent, if that was your question. I don't know of any instance where a charter school is paying the Board of Education rent. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I just know they're not required to. It's a deal-by-deal basis. Some charter schools build their own facilities. See, that's what UNO was doing. They got state money. This is what got them in trouble. They got, what is it, $98 million
from the state,
a flat-out grant to help them build their schools. So they're just building these opulent schools all over the place.
And they're privately owned.
So each charter school does it its own way. That's, again, part of the charter. The whole point of the charter is that there are no rules, there are no regulations. That's what makes us so American and so capitalistic and entrepreneurial. And that's just you know, like they're all little Apple companies.
God bless America.
Yeah.
Aside from that state largesse for UNO, how does Chicago Public Schools, how does the Board of Education pay charter operators generally?
The main source of funding for these charter schools is a per pupil allowance that they get based on, well, the total number is based on the number of kids in a school. So I can't remember what the per pupil allowance, let's say it's $10,000. If you have 100 kids in the school, that's, what's 100 times 10,000?
A million.
Then you get $1 million in public funds. Then you're largely free to spend it however you want. And there's really no oversight, as far as I could tell, for how you spend it. It's certainly not on the internet for all of us to look at, like you can look at a regular school, a real public school.
Does the Board of Ed pay that, say, annually to charter operators?
Great, G-R-E-A-T question. And I've not received a sufficient answer on that from anybody. I can't get an answer now these days with the Board of Ed, since nobody at the Board of Ed will talk to me. I think that's a foible issue. So, for instance, how and when charter schools, how frequently they get this per pupil allowance, I do not know. I've had contradictory responses depending on when I asked that question, to whom I asked that question. It's a very important question because, follow me on this one, Dave, if you're getting a public allowance based on the number of students in your school, that indicates that that allowance would vary month to month by the number of kids you have in your school. If you use our example, if you have 100 kids and it's $10,000, that's a million. If your enrollment falls to 50, that would be only $500,000.
Let me stop you there. In neighborhood schools, isn't there a count made like within the first month, and that's the number they use for the whole year?
That is correct, Senator.
But you're saying they don't do that in charters?
I don't know. I've been told there's quarterly reports, and then I've asked to see them, and I've been told to FOIA for them, and then I've never FOIA'd for them. So any listeners out there, if you want a FOIA for this stuff.
Because Ben won't do it.
Yeah, because I won't do it. It's a game. I guess I should do it. The FOIA game, right, Dave? Yeah. We have a FOIA law that governs this.
I play regularly. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose.
Look how great the FOIA law is working for Dan with his fight against UNO. You have to go to court. He's in court right now.
Well, he wouldn't have a leg to stand on, arguably, if it wasn't for FOIA.
Okay. As always, you're much more optimistic about our system of government than I am.
Let's talk now about your article that appeared in The Reader this year, January 2nd, 2014, titled, Rahm Creates a Process to Endorse His Plan for More Charter Schools.
Yeah.
You write of a public meeting held by a body called the Neighborhood Advisory Council, which advises the Board of Ed on whether to accept applications for new charter schools. You mentioned at the end of the article that Chicago charter school teachers get pensions just as neighborhood school teachers.
That is correct.
And are equally jeopardized by efforts to curb teacher pensions. I'm wondering how their pension arrangements differ. So, for example, to create a teacher's pension in each pay cycle, the employer makes a contribution and the teacher makes a contribution, right?
That is correct.
For CPS teachers, CPS makes the pension contribution. So presumably for charter teachers, their charter operator makes the contribution.
Yes.
Do they have the same regulations regarding how the payout works?
Yeah, they're all part of the same pension plan. So the charter operators are supposed to be providing the money like CPS is providing the money. It gets to my larger point. Why I believe this assault on teachers is against the long-term interest of public school children is that you really can't develop a workforce if you treat them so shabbily. One of the swaps that people make when they go into the teaching profession is that they're going to give up the potential to make a lot of money. Like they're not going to be Bruce Rauner rich, $53 million in 1 year for a hedge fund operator. But they'll make a good living, a good solid middle-class living. And when it's all said and done, if they dedicate themselves to at least 20 to 30 years or whatever it is of public service, they'll get a pension and they'll be able to live out their golden years without being impoverished. Well, of course, we're now breaking that promise on the pension end. We have been breaking it because we haven't been paying into it. So it's the same thing for charter school teachers. The charter schools, they want to be able to pay their teachers less, fire them whenever they want to fire them, hurting, damaging the very profession they supposedly revere.
But as far as pension goes, they're functionally the same.
Yeah, they're functionally the same. So the point is about the pension. So if you dedicate yourself to being a charter school teacher, you could in the end be screwed just like your public school brothers and sisters, so to speak. I don't know if charter school teachers view themselves as brothers and sisters of public school. Maybe they've bought into the situation that they're better somehow or other.
They're all potentially screwies the same way.
Yes, absolutely. So you could find yourself with the same broken promise that a public school teacher has with regards to the pension. You're all in the same boat. I wish that charter school teachers would join the larger fight that we're seeing out there. I think it would do great service toward public education in general if the charter school community stopped acting as though they were somehow different and better than the public school community. At that meeting, I said this, I had this exchange at the end with some of the people from Noble, who I thought did a great job at that meeting of, you know, as they always do, I think they're pretty good at this by now, of showcasing their school. And I said, well, you know, you should unionize.
Let me ask you about that. You and others have described the proliferation of charter schools in Chicago as an effort to replace a unionized workforce with a non-union workforce.
Do you agree with me on that point?
That is a definite impact. Looking at it objectively.
Yeah, okay. It's the impact. We don't know if that's the intention.
Right. Impact versus intention.
Yes, it could be collateral damage or benefit, depending on your point of view.
So how is that shift from union to non-union workforce being mitigated by the move to unionize charter school teachers?
Well, the more the unions organize charter school staff, the more they mitigate the effort to cripple teacher unions.
But do you see it as a significant effort, or is it just sort of thumb in the dike?
Well, put it this way. It's the future of, as far as I'm concerned, it's the great battle that's coming down for unions.
This is the one to watch.
Yeah, it's the one to watch. Have they effectively been able to offset the damage done to their union cause? No.
Not yet.
Not yet. UNO, I don't know if they've signed a contract. They're negotiating with the union to unionize. They had no choice. That was part of their, you know, it's funny how they dropped their opposition to unions as soon as they got in real trouble. Noble is resisting. They openly said at this meeting that they don't believe in unions, but I guess they would go along with it. I think that's how they phrase it, if their teachers wanted to. Right now, I would say the non-union forces have the upper hand in this matter. It's very difficult to organize a union. So I would just say to all charter school teachers that the more power you take away from the teachers union, you give it to people like Bruce Rauner, who's coming after your pensions, which was the name I mentioned in that article. He's an exceedingly wealthy hedge fund operator who has contributed to the charter school movement while bashing the teachers. I've been very public about bashing the teachers union, very open about saying how the teachers unions are the reason why children in Chicago are not doing as well on standardized tests as children elsewhere, which is kind of funny since the headlines in today's papers are all about how he worked to get one of his children into Walter Payton, which is a unionized school. I'm surprised he didn't send her to a charter school if he has so much against unionized workforce. But Walter Payton is very much a unionized staff. They went on strike with all the other teachers in Chicago. So I always felt that bashing teachers union was a poor excuse. It was just an attempt just to bash teachers union. It wasn't really getting at the big issues of poverty, et cetera, that are at play here in public education.
Ben, that's all we have time for. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
Listeners, you can receive automatic updates about all of Inside Chicago Government's audio and print reporting on your web. Go to chigov.com and look for the box on the right side that says Follow Chi Gov. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.